Do you ever have the feeling that you're stuck in a time loop on autopilot, just doing the same thing day after day after day? Hopefully, you've never experienced it literally, the way Bill Murray did in Groundhog Day. Harold Ramis directed the film, which came out in 1993. Danny Rubin wrote the screenplay, and Doug Gordon sat down to talk with him. And if this interview sounds familiar, that's because this is a rebroadcast, which seems appropriate.
Danny, for those few people out there who haven't seen Groundhog Day, the one or two, and even for those who have seen it, it's probably only fitting to be reminded. Can you give us a summary of the storyline?
A cynical, self-centered, Pittsburgh-centered weatherman is sent to cover the annual Groundhog Festival in Punxsutawney, which is something he does not look forward to, and winds up repeating that same day, waking up every morning in Punxsutawney against his desires.
Yeah.
And defying any explanation.
So how did you come up with the idea?
I was just trying to come up with an idea for a movie. Everywhere I looked, I was thinking about, oh, would that be a movie? Oh, there's a guy with a shovel. Is that a story? And I was in a movie theater waiting for the lights to come down. I had a book about vampires, and I was just sort of thinking about things, and I was musing about what's cool about vampires is they're like people, only some of the rules are different. And one of the cool rules is that they can live forever. So I started thinking, oh, I wonder what it would be like to live forever, and would a person change differently than if they only had one lifetime? And what about one of these arrested development kind of guys who can't quite grow up? Maybe one lifetime isn't enough. So I was really trying to tell a story about eternity and how that affected a person. It was just a very cumbersome idea, even though I thought it was kind of interesting. And then I remembered one of a gazillion ideas I'd scratched out over the last couple of years, and it was a guy repeats the same day over and over again, which seems like that's the whole movie right there, but it really isn't. It had to be about a human life and had to be about something. And what I found out was that I could capture the feeling of eternity by turning it on its tail and making a circle. So a person repeating the same day over and over again could be a story of a person living a very, very long lifetime.
This is one time where television really fails to capture the true excitement of a large squirrel predicting the weather. I, for one, am very grateful to have been here. From Punxsutawney, this is Phil Connors. So long.
Okay, we'll try it again without the sarcasm.
We got it.
What did you think of the choice of Bill Murray to play Phil Connors?
I had kind of mixed feelings. I didn't automatically say, oh my God, Bill Murray's going to be in my movie. This is great. Even though I love his performances and always enjoy his movies, I was afraid it was turning into a Harold Ramis comedy.
He had worked with Bill quite a bit with both Caddyshack and, of course, Ghostbusters.
Exactly right. So I was not thinking like a smart Hollywood success goal-oriented person. I was thinking of trying to protect my script. And Bill did not seem like the best choice for that. But Harold argued to me that he, not that he needed my consent or anything, but he was trying to make me feel good about the whole thing. And he said, Bill can do this. Don't worry about it. He really can. Mm-hmm. And he really did.
What do you think it was that Bill brought to the character of Phil Connors?
Well, he brought Bill Murray. In spite of how extraordinary he is, there's an everyman quality to him. Mm-hmm. And there's something recognizable in his performance that makes people say, oh, I know people like that, or I'm like that.
Do you ever have deja vu, Mrs. Lancaster?
I don't think so, but I could check with the kitchen.
No, that's okay. Thank you.
Will you be checking out today, Mr. Connors?
I'd say the chance of departure is 80%.
Do you have a favorite scene or a favorite moment in Groundhog Day?
The very first thing I thought of that made me say, oh my God, this is a movie, was the picking up Rita scene. Being able to use knowledge from previous dates to manipulate the situation and give her the perfect day. Mm-hmm. That to me was, it was funny and it was clever and it was fun and it was character building and it was absolutely unique to this premise. And it worked perfectly. I loved it.
Can I buy you a drink?
Okay.
Sweet vermouth rocks with a twist, please.
For you, miss?
The same. That's my favorite drink.
Mine too. It always makes me think of Rome. The way the sun hits the buildings in the afternoon.
Well, what should we drink to?
I like to say a prayer and drink to world peace.
To world peace.
World peace.
Groundhog Day has really resonated with people. In a list of the best comedy films of all time that the American Film Institute put together, Groundhog Day came in at number 34. People like Monty Python's Terry Jones hold it in very high esteem. Does the film's staying power and all this critical acclaim surprise you?
No. I don't mean that to sound arrogant.
No, it doesn't sound arrogant.
Oh, I should try harder. No.
Well, yeah, now it's a little arrogant. Yeah.
Brilliant. It always felt special to me, and there was a cleverness to it, and there was an originality to it that felt like it would lift it above the other comedies. And then in terms of just the humor and how much you laugh, I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
But the fact that it has all this power behind it of a kind of non-manipulative truth, it just feels real, and that to me makes everything else more powerful. It seems like that would be the kind of impression people would get, that it's a really great comedy.
Yeah, a thinking person's comedy for sure. What kinds of letters and notes did you get after the film was first released?
The first kind of notes mostly came from, not from America, from England and from Germany. And I was getting notes from monks and from people of different religious persuasions and psychologists who were prescribing the movie to their patients. And so they were remarkable letters. And Harold and I kept in touch with each other, and he was getting them as well.
Hmm. And you heard from a lot of Buddhists as well, right?
Buddhists, yeah. There was a film festival in New York or something on religious-themed films, and everybody wanted Groundhog Day. And I think in the end, the Buddhists won.
Rita, I'm reliving the same day over and over. Groundhog Day, today.
So why do you think Groundhog Day has struck such a chord with so many people? What is it about the film?
I think it deals with the fact that our lives are made up of a series of days, and every day can feel like the next. And very often we do have this, you know, this human phenomenon of feeling like we're stuck and that we can't get out, that we're sort of trapped in our own lives. And I don't think that there is a movie existing, and certainly not a comedy movie, that has absolutely embraced that human experience before.
For sure. I've read somewhere that you said Phil's best day ever is the same day as his worst day, and there's this extremely empowering message that the world changed because Phil changed. It's a real strong story about character growth.
And it empowers each of us, because if Phil's story is true, and it certainly feels true after we've gone through the hour and a half, we feel like we have that power too. If the day needs changing, we can wait for something else to change it, or we can do something. There's something we can change in ourselves to see the day differently and experience it differently.
Oh, for sure. And you're not done with Groundhog Day. You turned it into a musical. Recently had its premiere at the Old Vic in London, and it will be coming to Broadway in April. I'm guessing that adapting it for the stage didn't seem like such a Phil Connors experience, because you were reimagining it for a different medium. What was that like?
It was very exciting. It was a lot of fun. It gave me a chance to revisit all of the decisions that Harold and I made in making the movie, and some that Harold made without me, and some that I had made originally, and revisit them all and sort of start from scratch and feel like if I were going to write the whole thing now as a musical for the first time, what would that be like?
Mm-hmm. I'll ask you this, and I'll defer to your judgment about revealing spoilers, because we don't want to do that, because it's already played at the Old Vic in London, but it's coming to Broadway, I think, in the spring. What is different about the musical? How does it differ from the film, or is that going to ruin it?
Well, I can say, without fear of ruining it, that there is singing.
Wow, okay, spoiler. We'll have to tack on a spoiler alert. I can't use that, Denny.
A lot of the reviews and things that I read were talking about the challenge of making us forget that it's Bill Murray and creating a new character for Phil that will certainly be relatable from, you know, people who've seen the movie, but doesn't make us wish that we were watching Bill Murray again. And part of that is the power of a musical. Bill Murray, the character of Phil Connors, breaking into song, doesn't feel like what he would do. If he did anything, he would probably be the only person who refused to sing.
Yeah.
And frankly, that was one of the things I thought about.
Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't that be interesting? Like when he finally sings, is starting to show his transformation.
Yeah. And you obviously have seen the production at the Old Vic in London, right?
Oh, I saw all of them.
Wow. Well, how appropriate. I have to ask you this. If you had to get stuck in a time loop and repeat the same day over and over again, I'm curious about which day you would pick if you had the control, the power to pick today, because I'm pretty sure it's not going to be today. Because can you imagine having to talk to me over and over and over again?
So far, it's okay. Today would be fine. It's a beautiful day in Santa Fe. And anyway, I don't have a day like that. I really don't. And it's partly because that's not the way I'm oriented. I don't really look back much. And I do look forward, and I do try and build new days that are at least as good as the best one I used to have.
There is something so familiar about this.
Hmm?
Do you ever have deja vu?
Didn't you just ask me that?
Danny Rubin wrote the classic comedy Groundhog Day, and he also wrote the book for the musical version, which was recently nominated for a Tony Award. He talked with Doug Gordon.